flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
The mic in my hand. With the mic in my man.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, but 9 a.m. here in the Crescent City, New Orleans, Louisiana. Me and B live Radio Row ahead of Eagles Chiefs. Good morning, B Mitch. How do you do?
Man, I am fantastic. I already been up, ran about 5 miles. That's a lie.
I didn't believe you.
I'm up. I'm ready, and let's go, baby.
I talked to you last night at like 8:30-ish.
Yeah.
And you were already back at your hotel.
I never left the hotel. We basically me and L.A. sat down, and we basically figured out that you can sit in that hotel and have a whole day.
This is you and LeVar?
Yeah, we were at the bar. We were on one side of the bar for about 3 hours, and then after he went and took a nap, and I went and got some food.
From is that about when I talked to you?
From that same hotel. And then I went to the other side of the bar. So we had a good little time sitting there talking, catching up.
And are you changing hotels today? Changing hotels at
tomorrow,
some point?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm going to the Airbnb tomorrow.
Oh, okay, with AD. All right. AD, if you're listening, I have your credential.
You want to give it to him? I can bring it to him?
Sure. That way I don't have it. Yeah. It was just sitting on the table yesterday.
Yeah, we don't want you to lose it like you did yours yesterday for like 10 minutes.
I didn't lose it. It was like under my jacket.
You didn't know where it was.
Yesterday was a pretty eventful kind of first day of Radio Row.
It's already bigger now.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday, so this room is unbelievably massive. It's like airport hangar size, I would say.
Yes,
it's just huge. This feels like the biggest one of these. You and I have done a bunch of them. You've done more than me. Mm-hmm. Does this feel like the biggest one?
Yeah.
Like physical size, I'm saying.
The physical size of it, and I think the amount of people, like normally you have a bunch of tables with no signage.
Right.
Now it's signage every damn where. It's like, you know, when some of these cities.
Well, and the signage has increased. Yeah, the size of signage has increased.
Some of these cities where they'll come in, the cities basically tell you can't put up signage unless it's a certain size. They need to start telling people that at this damn Radio Row.
I mean, it's Radio Row, I guess, is the name, but it's hardly radio anymore.
It is Media Row.
Yeah. The Odyssey contingent has grown. The Richmond boys are here. The Dallas boys are here. Maybe we'll get one of those Dallas fellas over here to help us make sense of the trade, the Luka trade, and, just to gauge Brian Schottenheimer mania, because I'm sure it's through the roof.
Not many people liking it.
There's a dude over here with a hat on. What do you got there, B? You got a read on that?
He's the captain in chief. I don't know.
He's the captain in chief. Where is... Oh, so they're from KC. So he's got a KC captain hat on.
Yeah.
You know what? I get it. You're from Kansas City, you're going for
you
a
do the hell you want.
You want to wear a goofy hat? Fire away. yesterday, I think news-wise, you kind of had some competing interests, right? Like the biggest football news was the Myles Garrett stuff.
Yeah.
And is he angling for more money? Does he actually want out of Cleveland? That's a real conversation. If he actually wants out, Washington should actually absolutely be involved. There's a lot of moving parts from A to Z on that thing. From the commander's specific angle on this, Josh Harris spoke yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't know. What I'm not left hand up here to do is litigate the name.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah, like they're keeping it, dude. He made it very clear. He's been super clear about it the whole time, but everybody just wants to not believe him. So now he's been abundantly clear.
It's not that they don't want to believe him. People are tone deaf. Tone deaf. What they do is sit out here, and they come up with what they want to hear and what they want to talk about. And no matter what you say, they're going to talk about what they want to talk about. And that's exactly it. He said that same thing he said yesterday at least 3 times. I know. And still, somebody will go away from that and keep saying, oh, I'm telling you, man, they're going to do it. No, they're not. Not happening.
Yeah. And I do think they're going to tweak the uniforms. I I will be happy about that. I have never liked the white top. It's a fine-looking uniform. It's just not burgundy and gold. So if you're going to try to stick with it, let's have some consistency. I think you get them back to the striped pants like Beamish wore. I think it'll be cool. I don't think the logo's coming back. Like, there's all these things people want. I don't think any of that's happening. I really don't care to pull that thread and just, like, could we light up the phone? Sure. But will we all get dumber? Yes. So we're in an effort to keep this.
I'm not going
to
get dumber because when that topic comes, that's when I just get rid of it.
White Brian, I'm going to tell you the truth here, bro. I'm going to keep entering the stream, but the internet here just sucks, and it's going to keep dropping. So it's not me dropping out of it. I was just in it, and the internet just arbitrarily comes and goes. So for everybody in the stream, we love you. We're trying, but understand that this is a New Orleans issue, not a me and B issue.
Not a JP.
It's been both of us. We both just dropped.
I'm in back. It.
Yeah, but yesterday it was all day. It was a constant thing.
No, I didn't drop yesterday.
Yes, you did.
Maybe once. He never told me to go back into the thing. He told you.
Brian Mitchell, again, infallible.
I'm just saying.
The biggest thing I think yesterday news-wise from Harris talking was he played it cool about his desire to be back at RFK, but it's very clear.
He wants to be there.
Definitely. And then Roger Goodell spoke here in New Orleans, and Nikki Javala asked him about RFK. And I think it's one of the few things we see Goodell open up about, because he talks about his childhood going to RFK Stadium. And, and the one thing I...
When Goodell went on Capitol Hill with him,
yeah,
he's basically telling you this is what we need. This is what the league wants. You can't tell me the biggest entity in the United States when it comes to sports does not want to have something inside the nation's capital?
My contention all along has been this should be a point of pride. This should be a point of pride for the country. Like, London has Wembley, and Tokyo has that giant dome. I don't know what it's called, but, like, great cities of the world, great capitals of the world have an awesome stadium to hold major events. Like, that should be a goal for Americans in Iowa and Oregon. You know what I mean? Like, I just – and because we live in a polarized political world, like, nobody will think that way. But I think for Roger Goodell to say a new stadium would be great for our nation, and for Goodell to say – it's important we play in an area that's beneficial for fans.
Yep.
I just think that stands out to me so much that, listen, man, that Goodell being on board, the league being on board, certainly doesn't guarantee anything, but damn, it helps. You know what they got? Money and connections, and the Harris Group has money and connections, and it feels so different than it previously did. And I find that really exciting. That to me was the headliner yesterday. Denton wants you to look at him, Brian. Denton, live update on Denton's clothing today. He's got cut off jean shorts, so legitimate jorts. Not quite Daisy Duke length, but like, let's take a look at those one more time. B, should those be a little longer for a dude?
Hell no.
I wouldn't mind a little more length.
No, they're right. Yeah. They're right at the. They're right
back up
the knee.
A little. Let me see you.
They're right at the knee.
No, those are well above the knee, though.
He's all right, though. Because if he go up one more inch, then he'll be like somebody might start whistling at him.
he's dangerously close to too short. They're not too short, but they're closer to too short than they are too long.
Yeah, yeah. You look more like too short than Snoop.
Hold on, back up. You're randomly posting pictures of us. I'm going to post a picture of you.
I was taking a picture for Landfill. I cut these myself, which I'm sure
I'm
is
sure
stunning.
You did.
Yeah, I'm sure that's stunning.
So he wore them one day as long pants, the next day he's going to go with shorts.
Landfill just requested a picture of Denton's booty shorts.
You made fun of my shirt. I got security guards were stopping me saying how much they liked my shirt.
Landfill, tweet that out and ask the people if Denton's shorts are too short. They're just barely long enough.
Which is the proper, that's what you want. You want to flirt with just long enough but not too long.
I got to be honest, D, I'm a big fan of yours. I love you as a human. I think you're a very smart kid.
I feel like there's a big butt that's coming.
Big butt. Like Sir Mix-a-Lot. Your gear and my gear just don't compute. We're different dudes.
Although you did give me a very nice, it was like a corduroy flannel.
Okay.
Which, good. It was the nice pink and brown joint. That goes hard.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, you did.
You know what? I have some clothes to give away at the house. I'll bring them in for you.
I would gladly take them. Okay. I can make them work.
I'm sure you can, pal. So I ended up just working all day yesterday and had to go over to the Superdome, had to go to the compound. So the domestic compound, for people to understand, is like a – you know how you always see those wacky – TV interviews, especially at big events like Final Four, Super Bowl, whatever, where like somebody runs up behind you and curses or like yells an obscenity or even just like acts weird.
Hey, that's just real life. I keep going.
Right. But they, at big events like this, they have a television area that's secured so you don't have to deal with that. So it's called the compound, right? And we went to the compound yesterday to do live shots for Channel 4, and it was... It's by the Superdome, right? So that's what I have in my head. The best location to get to this compound. So you got to also think for a television shot, you want it like in the background, kind of. You don't want to be right up on it.
Mm-hmm.
So like ideally, you'd be a block or two away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And in Vegas, it was awesome because Vegas is so flat and so spread out that we had this killer shot of the stadium behind us with the mountains behind us. Mm-hmm. You know, the views you get in Vegas are just crazy. Well, New Orleans, you don't really get that. And so we're kind of like closer to the Superdome than necessarily you want to be for the TV shot. But the location where I had to get dropped off to go to this, B, was a used car lot under Highway 90. And I was like, oh, this looks like a nice part of town. And then you have to walk up like six flights of stairs. Kerwin's got all this gear. I helped him carry some of it, but it was a lot. And we get up there. And it's fine, whatever, but then you just have time to kill, and there's nothing around. Like, I couldn't get a bottle of water, like a bag of chips. Like, there's just, you're in, like, a desolate, industrial, shady, under-the-highway area. You know what I mean? So I'm hoping I don't have to go back there. We'll see. Then we went to the Superdome for media night. Media night, last night, man, was, like, this collection of... zombies. Like, everybody was there hoping to find the wacky person. Like when you did it, I know the Julie Brown thing was a big thing, right? And over the years, like, I feel like people from like Telemundo or international outlets would come and kind of like cause the scene. I don't think there was much of that last night. There was one dude dressed up like a genie who was pretty weird.
Yeah, that part right there just throws me. You don't have to look like a damn fool to do an interview. I don't get that, you know. You can walk up in regular clothes and have an interview. You want to come out here and be like some character. And I despise that crap.
Well, this dude, I think, was working on behalf of Make-A-Wish, and that's why he was a genie. But he also, it was like an international thing. I don't really know what he was trying to accomplish. But it was just funny because it was like everybody was focused on trying to find the wacky stuff. The players are just walking around. And obviously, you know, they do podiums for Hurts and A.J. Brown and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, whatever. And those podiums get pretty wild. But, like, all the other players are just walking around. You could talk to assistant coaches. I talked to a front office guy I know from the Eagles for, like, 10 minutes. We just kind of sat around watching the craziness. But there were a couple people I wanted to see and find. One was Carson Wentz. One was Jahan Dotson. I got to talk to both those guys, got interviews with both those guys. We're going to play those a little later. It was really interesting. With both those guys, they're in the Super Bowl, so they're not too worried about their time in Washington. But Jahan is a young man I've known since he was drafted, and obviously things went sideways here. He landed in a great spot. He's in the Super Bowl with the Eagles. He seemed to have some perspective on it all. But it was more just like, man, we're in a wild industry, and this is how life goes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wonder if it was just – like, I think Dotson needs to be schemed open, and I think
– But that's strange to me because when he got here
– he could separate.
Everyone to a man said he was the best route runner on the team.
Yeah.
He'll route you to death. Why now you got to scheme him open? I mean, what happened? And what happened to his game? What happened to his route running? what happened to where now you got to find a way to get it done? He was a guy that could win all the time. So, I mean, that is when it comes down to the person, the individual. What are you not doing to make sure that you hold you held on to what you had, you know, to move forward?
It's interesting. I don't know the answer, honestly. It's really interesting with him. There's, you know, two kids I really enjoyed talking to. I say kids, and I don't mean that, you know, derogatory. They're just young.
Dude, you're older. You can say kids. Damn, if they were your children,
right?
They'll be your kids, right?
Right.
So, I mean, people got to get over some of the words sometimes. Every damn thing is not a problem.
Oren Burks is a young man from Fairfax County. He went to South County High School, went to Vanderbilt. Got to talk to him for a little bit. He's also the dude. He was in on one of the fumbles in the NFC title game, which obviously were killers for Washington. I was talking to a Philly coach, and he's like, yeah, man, you know, the final score doesn't show how close that game was. And I was like, yeah, man, I know. The fumbles were just killers.
The fumbles kill you. And I think people,
especially that late one.
True.
They all matter because they scored off all of them.
People that truly know football understand that now. As I would tell you all the time, just because they had a turnover don't mean you got to give up a touchdown.
Sure.
Let's be real.
Right. And John Allen owned that afterwards. I thought that was impressive. He's like, yeah, we couldn't help our offense out. We needed to. I think – I don't know what's going on with the stream. This might be my computer, but that's currently – I'm in the background, and it was just frozen on you, but now it looks like you're back. Landfill was asking, I think he can hear Mike Phillips. Mike Phillips sitting right behind us.
He's seeing.
Phillips has one of the most legendary laughs in pro football. His laugh is so loud and contagious that we have gotten yelled at in opposing press boxes. Not for cheering. Cheering is very much against the rule in the press box, but sometimes just for being too loud. I forgot where I was going because that made me laugh. I was thinking we got yelled at in Cleveland one year in a preseason game. All right, day two in New Orleans. Tonight's the media party. I don't know. I am sure we've been to one since. The Atlanta one was dope. Remember that was at the aquarium?
Miami.
You liked the Miami one. I didn't think it was that cool.
The location was cool, and that's what we rode in the back of that Tesla.
That was like before the Tesla. All I did was order an Uber XL, and this Tesla showed up, and we cut to the front of this long-ass line, and the doors went up, and everybody's like, yo, who are those guys? And we were like,
ugh. Be Mr. Philly.
All right, here's the plan. Logan Paulson is going to join us next. I don't know where – is Logan here?
I don't know.
Okay, I know he was.
He went to Mobile. Senior Bowl.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
I'm excited to talk to Logan about that. That's like a prime. Let Logan nerd out on like what D lineman sets his feet the best.
He does that.
I am here for that. Barstool Nate going to join us at 11 at noon. We're going to play these interviews. You be the judge. Carson Wentz, Jahan Dotson. See what you think they sound like at this point. I think our boy Joe Maloney's going to pop by at some point. Pack show.
I walked over here with Joe.
Yeah. I am curious. Maloney works for the Gaming Association, whatever it is. I am fascinated to know what the betting number is going to be this weekend.
And
I wonder,
where is it leaning?
Well, and I wonder if it'll go down a little, man. I don't think it will, but like everybody keeps saying, there's less interest in this game and blah blah blah. Not if you look at the prices.
It's just like people keep saying that they're not following the Commanders, and everything keep going up.
Dude, I also want to take a look at ticket prices because I have heard it is outrageous. I think this joint's going to be pretty damn green.
Get in the door. I saw it $5,000.
Yeah.
Up there.
Yeah, dude. I think Sunday's going to look very, very green, and I'm not talking about Jeff Walker's kind. Nobody go anywhere. Logan Paulson joins us next.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. It's Super Bowl 59 week, and there's no better way to make every play more exciting than with FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel makes it easy for you to place your bets and feel the thrill of every moment. Here's some of the fun bets in the app right now. Saquon to record 25-plus rushing yards in each quarter. Either quarterback to catch a pass. Jalen Hurts to score an octopus. And a big man touchdown. I'm any offensive lineman to score a TD. An octopus is when the player carries the touchdown, and then he comes back and he carries the ball over the line for the two-point conversion. I also feel that you can go with the over in this game because I think things could get wide open. Just place a $5 bet, and if you win, you'll get 200 in bonus bets. Download the app or head to FanDuel.com/Brian, that's B-R-I-A-N, and bet with FanDuel, official partner of Super Bowl 59. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner, 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years or older and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537.
B-Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Folks are starting to fill in here. I saw Kay Adams. Every time I've seen Kay Adams, I'm struck. That's a small woman.
Yeah, she is small. She's beautiful. Why is my phone ringing from landfill?
Because he probably wanted us back on the air. I'm going to call it a hunch. Joining us right now via the Rude Guest Hotline, because I don't see him in person, is Mr. Logan Paulson. Logan, what up, man? Where are you?
Where am I? I'm in my house right now. What are you up to?
I thought you'd be at the Super Bowl, man. Make a content.
Oh yeah, not no. That, they
he did a week of content.
Really fancy people out there. I just hang out in Washington, do the show. I got a show. I'll probably see you in a little bit. Actually, I'm coming to the studio, so say hi to you then.
Well, we're in New Orleans.
Yeah, you won't see us.
Dang, I didn't realize you were that big time.
You nah, B Mitch is.
Hey, no.
It's not just beautiful people because they sent Denton down here and he's wearing homemade jean shorts. So like, they'll let anybody in, dude. I definitely want to talk about your trip to Mobile. There are a few people better equipped to go on like a serious scouting trip like that. B and I really believe Washington needs to fortify the offensive and defensive lines in this draft cycle. What did you see in Mobile? What stood out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're looking to fortify the defensive line specifically, like this is the year to do it, man. There's just a lot of really uber talented guys and a lot of guys that, like, when you look through the measurement list that comes out for the Senior Bowl, that just have it, right? They're just tall, long, athletic guys that have a ton of position flexibility. Jared Ivey from Ole Miss is a guy. He's 6'5 and 3'8. He's 283 pounds. He's got 33 and three quarter inch arms. He can play defensive tackle. He can play defensive end. And when I think about scheme flexibility for the Washington Commanders, he's definitely a guy that fits that mold. Xavion Jones, same thing from LSU. Shamir Stewart from Texas A&M was an absolute freak at the Senior Bowl. I thought he would be there when the Washington was picking at 29, but obviously now, like, he's kind of played himself into probably a top 20 pick. So those are just a couple names, but there's a lot of really talented edge rushers. Offensive line, I think, is interesting. I think there's guys that have physical traits, size, speed, athleticism for offensive linemen, but they're kind of developmental guys. You know, if you're looking for a guy that really kind of won the Senior Bowl week, it's Gray Zabbitt from North Dakota State. He played left tackle in college. He moved inside. He's a guy that just is going to be like the next great offensive lineman out of NDSU. And again, a guy I thought that was going to be there kind of in the late half of the first round, but after a really solid Senior Bowl week, probably bumps up. But again, there's a bunch of guys like Anthony Belton from NC State. He's 6'6". He's 350. He's got 34.5-inch arms. He moves people off the spot. Really, really, really raw. But a guy that maybe in the bottom half of the second you draft for some depth, can play guard, can play tackle. So there's a lot of people that are really, really talented. But again, different type of skill, right? Last year, there were all these like top guys that were going to be kind of generational prospects at the offensive line position. This year, a little different construct comparatively.
So do you think they can do that in the draft, or do they have to go and get somebody in free agency to make sure they are fortified? Because offensive line, defensive line are going to take you where you need to go, point blank.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think you just look at Philly, you look at Kansas City, you look at Detroit, look at Baltimore. Like, they're built in that way, and I think Washington should follow that model because that seems to be the model for success for sure. So what I would say is, like, if you're looking for defensive linemen, yes, draft away. Probably draft two of them. Like, it's going to be a really good opportunity to find some hyper-talented guys that are going to make your team a whole lot better. I think with regards to offensive line, it's going to be – you got to be a little bit more selective. You got to kind of say, we like this mold, we like this athlete, and we trust our staff that they're going to develop. And we got a bunch of guys like Wyatt Millam from West Virginia. He's moving from tackle to guard, struggled a little bit at the Senior Bowl, but again, a guy that has tremendous athletic upside, but is going to need some time to grow. So I think there's a lot of guys like that that kind of check the box physically, athletically, but technically still need some work to do. And so if you trust the offensive line coach here to get that done. I do think there's opportunities, but I think you just need to be a little bit more selective than you would with the defensive line in this draft class, which to me there's so many guys on the defensive line that can impact your roster. You know, you could probably find a guy on day three if you were really looking hard for it.
So, Logan, one thing that's interesting is, especially on the offensive line, people are like, oh, well, who are you replacing? And it doesn't necessarily mean that because you're trying to just get depth going.
Yeah.
Even if perhaps there are changes coming. Like, if you just look at contract structures, Wiley's going into a year with no guarantees on there, things like that, right? But it was funny. I talked to Chiefs offensive line coach Andy Heck last night, and he's a D.C. guy, played for the Skins, grew up in Fairfax. So, like, we talk to him seemingly every year. But last night, he openly brought up to me how much he enjoyed watching Wiley and Allegretti, like his guys that got this bigger opportunity. How much overhaul do you think the offensive line needs? Because defensively, we know it's coming just based on the one-year nature of a lot of those guys' contracts. But offensively, it's a little more interesting.
Yeah, it is more interesting, and I like the way you worded that there. It's not so much that you need to replace somebody. I think you just want to cultivate a more competitive environment. Just get guys who are more talented, kind of fit the height, weight, speed measurables a little bit more, a little bit more size, a little bit more physicality. And again, that's not a knock on what the guys did this last year. I just think when you look at the standard, when I look at Philly, when I look at Detroit, like
totally,
they've got five dudes out there that are big, strong, and fast and smart football players. And I do think that this group this year for Washington did a tremendous job, man. And I understand why fans don't want to replace them, but you can't think of it like a fan. You got to think of it like a GM. Like, I want what's best for the roster. And getting more talented, getting more physicality in that group, I think is probably long-term the direction you want to go. So that's where I'd say, yes, like, you might not be finding a one replacement, but I want to get a little bit more athletic. I want to get a little bit bigger. I want to get a little bit tougher. And that's how you do it. And that's how you continue to cultivate good groups, is never being contented with what's there, but rather always kind of hunting for that extra inch to get you over the hump, right? Because, again, if Washington wants to win a Super Bowl, you got to beat these teams with, the Joneses, the Carters, you know, these tremendous defensive linemen that are really, really disruptive. So that's kind of what you got to be looking at in terms of goalposts.
I think when we were, I don't know if you were on the team at that time, we were in Richmond, and the New England Patriots got off the bus. And everybody was like, whoa, that's what a team's supposed to look like. That's how it looks when you look at Philadelphia Eagles line and you look at their defensive line. And I think you got to get to that point where when your guys get off the bus, they put fear in people's heart too. You know, people get replaced in the NFL every year. And I don't know many people that have the same offensive line for 10, 15 years. So it happens.
10, 15 games.
Yeah, it happens. So I think fans got to realize this is not about, oh, the person's going to – free agency means you're not going to be in the same team for the rest of your life.
Well, dude,
doesn't happen.
Going one step further, Logan, I don't know if you'll agree with this. Talking with our friend Logan Paulson, a ton of Commanders content. Check him out at LoganPaulson82 on Instagram. Did I get that close to right?
I don't even know what it is anymore. Logan Paulson, Logan_Paulson82. There we go.
Logan_Paulson82. And check out all his content on the Commanders website, the Take Command website with our boy Hoffman via Odyssey. But, dude, not to give away state secrets, right? But during the Ron era, there was real dissension within that front office on some of the philosophical decision-making as it related to size, where they would eschew – I mean, the easiest thing to point to, and I know there was a screaming match on draft day about the Forbes decision when Gonzalez was there. They're like, yo – this dude has prototype size, speed, every measurable you have. And then you look at a lot of the decisions during that Ron era, it seemed like they were not scared to move away from what you would want size, speed. Just looking at the people Peters and Quinn brought in through the season, especially like kind of the, I don't want to say bottom of roster, but like the guys that are coming in, practice squad, getting elevated, guys that are getting released over the course of the season, size, physical size, especially on the O and D line, seemed like it was absolutely a priority. Did you notice that as well? And did you kind of notice how the Rivera group did not maybe quantify or seek that out as much?
I definitely did see, specifically with regards to the offensive line, there definitely seemed to be a push to bring in a specific type of body type, you know.
Massive.
I mean, Darkwa from Howard was the biggest offensive lineman in last year's draft. He was a rookie. They brought him into practice squad. Hunt, he's like a 340-pound guard-tackle hybrid, right? Like, they have a type of person that they're looking for there. And, again, when you are – there's advantages to big people. There's advantages to small people. Ultimately, you got to play football. But I do think, to your point about the Ron Rivera staff, like, there is a reason there are thresholds for positions. There's reasons that offensive linemen have 34-inch arms. There's a reason that they tend to be 6'4 to 6'6. Like, there's reasons for that. That, again, because, like, when you look at when you're looking at, like, kind of the statistical probability of you making it at the position, those measurements are relevant. So I do think that that's something that I think the Washington Commanders currently have a style, a type of player, a type of body type that they're looking at, high physical upside. But I also think the Rivera staff, they kind of just ignored some of that stuff in favor of good football players. Now, I'm never going to tell you not to take a good football player because of size. I think Mike Sandersteel is a perfect example of that. Great leadership, tough competitor. But I do think, like, you got to consider, like, what you're getting and whether that player has the ability to overcome physical limitations that other people have at the positions. I think the Forbes Gonzalez example is a really, really good one there.
But I think Mikey
there's always outliers.
Mikey
too,
played
right?
a position where you can be that size and be great at it, you know. And he was super intelligent, so it works. Some of these other positions, you better not be that little bitty old dude trying to go play against some big those mammoths.
Right. There's always going to be outliers, but it seemed like the Ron era was about proving how much smarter they were than everyone, and they sought out outliers. That's, like, generally not how it works. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Generally not how it works. I mean, historically not how it works. Like, look at Mike Mayock and what he did in Las Vegas, you know, when he was there with Gruden. Like, they were always kind of going against statistically what people were kind of projecting them to do, and it never really worked out. Like, there's a reason there's, like, a draft consensus. There's a reason there's a big board. There's a reason you have scouts. There's a reason you go through this whole process, is to mitigate risk. And I feel like when you kind of bet on traits and bet on qualities, you're mitigating risk. And Mike Sandersteel is an interesting example, because even though physically he didn't admit it, like, his movement skills are off the chart, his intelligence off the chart, his compete and his toughness are off the chart. And those, you know, in terms of categories, are just as important. So,
yeah. Last thing, because I know we got to let you go. But what do you think of the backs in Mobile? I think running back in the draft is going to be a sneaky priority. Everybody's focused on receiver, understandably. There's two under contract. But what do you think of the backs?
Yeah, I mean, I thought all the backs actually were really impressive, just in terms of how they kind of encapsulate what it means to be a modern back. You got Harvey from, where's he from? UNC, I want to say. And then you got Etienne from Georgia, guys that can catch the ball well. They've got quick feet. Not the biggest guys in the world, but I think that's the fun thing about this year's draft class, is you got a bunch of guys, like Martinez from Miami. He's 235 pounds. He's a big bruiser. He's 6'3 and a half. Like, they've got your style of back, what you're looking for. It's here. This is a very, very deep running back draft class. There's probably, just from what I've been reading, probably about 20 to 25 guys that are going to get drafted this year playing running back, which is very, very unusual. And so, like, whatever you're looking for, man, all these guys are good football players. They catch the ball well. They run hard. They've got good vision. You know, there's warts on all of them, but I do think if you are looking for something of value in this draft, we talked about defensive line already, the running backs and the tight ends actually are positions where you're going to get great value, a really, really competitive football player. Probably in some cases on day three. So in terms of players I expect them to draft, running back is 100% one of them, partially because of the value there. It's not necessarily an indictment of the guys that were here, but I think there's just such good value there. I think it would be kind of foolish to pass up on one of those guys.
Now I can update this list. It's my list. I'm free to update, and I will after Indy once we go to the combine. But currently top of my draft crush list is the kid Restrepo out of Miami. Did you watch him at all?
Yeah, no, I think he's
Logan
Xavier
just laughing
he's
at my crush list.
To watch.
That's Tanner's boy.
Oh, is he? He's tough, dude. I just love toughness in small guys like that, that can play really – like, you described Zach Ertz route running so beautifully last summer when they signed him and we got to start watching him. Restrepo seems like a slot guy that runs routes like that. And obviously, he doesn't have the body control that Ertz has, because Ertz is a freaking block of granite. But I just think that kid's going to help an NFL team.
No, I would 100% agree with that. The way Restrepo runs routes, he reminds me a little bit of Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's like 5'9", he's 200 pounds, a little stockier slot guy, but he's got great short area quickness. He's got a great feel for the speed cut, great feel for zones. He understands how to win versus man-to-man coverage. He's playing a ton of football, and I definitely agree with you. I think he's a guy that's going to make some team very happy, probably a full-time slot guy, but you need that role, especially in an offense like the one Cliff runs.
Logan, thank you, man. Go lift some weights. It's probably been like 30 minutes since you've done something active.
He loves lifting.
All right, yeah, thanks, guys. Have fun down there in New Orleans. Don't get hurt, okay?
All right, man.
That's our guy. I think the don't get hurt was directed to me, probably not to you.
Nah, not to me.
That's our guy, Logan Paulson. Check him out somewhere on Instagram. None of us are quite able to locate what his Instagram name is. We think it was Logan underscore Paulson 82.
Paulson.
Yeah, just find him.
And just look for his picture.
He's searchable.
That's the way I look at it.
Great, great football content. If you're looking for great, great real estate advice, only one dude to call. His name is John Leahy.
Just like our guy, Mike. Mike had been a landlord in Germantown for over a decade, and then he no longer wanted to deal with some bad tenants that he had. So he actually lives in Ohio, so he needed someone who was local who could relocate those tenants. So to find someone, he went out to John Leahy and the Fine Living Group, and he accomplished all of that. And he got the property sold using their VIP seller program. John and his team got a great offer and a great remote settlement, which led to Mike getting the home sold in only 13 days for 100% of the asking price. If you're looking for a seamless home selling experience, reach out to John and our Fine Living Group. John offers you flexible fees customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens. So if needed, he will let you out of your contract at any time.
Here's the thing. If you're thinking about buying or selling a house, right, go to John's website, johnsellsdmv.com. Check out the home valuation tool. That'll give you an honest assessment of the equity you're sitting on in your house. And from there, if you're like, okay, that's a lot of cash, I want to sell this thing, but then you look around and you know you at least need to change out all your windows or you need to get some new doors, just call our guy Paul Henry if you need it. But if you need some minor upgrades, say you need to spend, I don't know, 7-8 G's just to get the house ready to market, talk to John. He can front you that cash for upgrades and repairs on the front end, and then you just take it out with him at closing. There's no loans, there's no interest, none of that. John's just trying to get the house sold for you, and any money you put into that house to sell it, you're going to get it back threefold when you sell it at the end. Call John today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com, or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing. So yesterday the big news was Myles Garrett, B.
Yeah.
Understandably, because he's an absolute star. Cooper Kupp, last night-ish, tweeted out that the Rams are going to trade him.
But they were talking about that earlier this year, so I'm not surprised by that at all.
I'm not either. He's making real money. Puka's become the better player there.
Yep.
Kupp, when he's right, is an absolute star. He misses a lot of time, dude. He hasn't played a full season since 21 when they won the title, and he almost went for 2,000 yards. But in the last 3 years, he's played 9 games, 12 games, and 12 games.
Yeah.
It's hard to count on that guy.
And, you know, I would say he's exceptionally talented, but you know what? He's at the position and time of his career where you hit that age where you stay injured, and it comes back and forth. So would I say go after him? No.
He'll be 32 when training camp starts.
And that's right around the time. When you see the last 3 to 4 years, what he's done, it doesn't get better.
Yeah, I mean.
If you have a tendency to be injured, when you get over 30, it's going to come a little bit more often.
Sure. And I think, you know, with Kupp, like, it's one of these things, they're trying to trade him to where he wants to go. What is that trade market like for a dude that has $5 million guaranteed and –
But
he's got a $30 million cap.
I think it comes down to the team. How close is a team to getting there? Is Cooper Kupp worth it for a team that maybe, like, let's take Kansas City.
Sure.
If we got him for 12, if they got him for 10, 12 weeks, he's good for them.
Buffalo.
Yeah. Those type of teams could use him. And I think he still has a lot of value. But if you have a younger team and you're trying to get there, where if he's gone for 8 weeks, 6 weeks, he hurts your team, it's not going to help.
Well, I think L.A. is going to have to eat a lot of this contract because the way it is currently constituted, it would be a $22 million dead money hit versus a $7.5 million cap savings. Like, so you're – or if you're actually trading for this, it becomes like a salary dump. Like, all right, we'll give you a 6 for Kupp if you want us to eat the deal.
Yeah.
You know what I
yeah,
mean? Like,
yeah.
I Cooper Kupp has value. To your point, you almost have to plan. You know what Zach Ertz told me, I guess at locker cleanout, was how well DQ took care of veteran players.
Hell yeah.
He's like, man, we didn't practice on Wednesdays. Like, they really seem to know how
to take care
of their vets.
He needs to be on a team like that that has a lot already.
You know, but Sean is like that. Sean doesn't make those dudes play.
Yeah, but
they
Sean,
don't do any preseason. Sean, they don't do Sean remember also, week 18.
Sean also understands that I got two guys that play the exact same position.
Yeah.
One of them got to go.
And Buka's a young beast.
And this guy here I basically have for the next 10 years, and the other guy I got for the next year, two, possibly.
Right.
So I'm going to go with the guy where I got the longer period to hang with.
Well, and I think Nacua's on a rookie deal that they can't pay him until after the season. You got Puka Nacua for $1 million.
Hey.
And Cup's on the books for 30. Give me the Nacua one.
Raven Caldwell say, bro, I stood next to Puka Nacua. He said, dude, same height as me.
6'2".
He said he's built a certain way. Puka is not built like a typical receiver.
He's a fullback, dude.
He's like that. So he is built in a way where he's sturdy enough to go the long haul.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Cup to Washington for me, you know, interesting. I don't think they have holes at wideout, but I don't know that. Cup to Washington to me is if he gets to free agency and then the number's really suitable and he decides, yo, I'd love to play with Jaden, I'd love to play for Cliff, cool. Like, if you get to be a veteran situation where he wants to be in Washington, everybody keeps saying this is going to happen, okay, I'll be very interested.
Yeah.
But I'm not giving up a pick for that contract and everything else involved. I think he ends up getting released. I don't know how that ends up getting – I don't know how that split ends up actually happening.
I think most important in Washington is to upgrade your O-line, D-line.
Sure.
Because you have a quarterback who just showed you, if you give me any time,
right,
I'm going to find the people. And if you improve the O-line where he has more time, he becomes even more deadly.
Sure. Here's what we're going to do. Barstool Nate, our guy from New York City, apparently is like deathly ill. We're going to talk to him next.